This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jalen Duren going to make his announcement on Friday. Of course, that's Memphis, that's Miami, Kentucky, the G League, and the NBL.
It's like an hour and a half presentation, sound like your old John J3
the stuff with
that
Legend.
You were out there for 2 years.
Oh, buddy.
Sound like it's going to be one of those, John.
That was a great time, though, man. I miss those kind of days, to be honest. You know? I mean, it was just...
No, you don't.
J3 was a... You know,
you were living in a tiny home back then.
Well, J3 was... I don't even think I was living there.
Were you living with mom back then? You might have been living with mom back then.
I can't really remember when it was. But... J3, man, he had it at a church out there in Whitehaven, and mom got up there, and dad got up there, and grandma got up there, and auntie got up there, and cousin got up there.
That's what we about to get. Tyler had one kind of like that, too. Everybody talked at Tyler Harris's
thing. Man, that thing was so long. Tyler Harris' thing was so long, bro.
Man, everybody talked. I remember.
They're like,
why don't you just take out the so long and say what you really want to say? You want to say the too long. That's what you really mean.
They were like, by the end of it, they were like soliciting random people in the audience. You want to come up here and say something? Okay, come on. They're like, Tyler, we love you. I mean, it was like a this is your life.
Like, Deacon, you got anything to say? I know you helped raise Tyler. You got anything to say, Deacon?
This is your life. That's what it was for J3.
Oh, it was a great moment.
J3 was an
Listen
Olympian.
Listen to the screams. Those are actual screams.
Oh, yeah. Tyler deserved it. You know what I'm saying? But have you ever been celebrated like that in your life?
Come on. Only went undefeated and won the Oscar.
And not even.
I'm kidding, obviously. I got no love for that. No applause.
Like, I will say, like, it's great.
No, of course. I've never been close to anything like that.
It's great that you get celebrated when you make a college decision. You know, like, you should. To get a scholarship offer in Division I is an achievement most will never be able to say they've done.
We've been comparing this to Wiseman, how excited. Will we be as excited as we were for Tyler Harris if Jalen Duren says Memphis on Friday? I mean, that was some real excitement in there.
Well, who was the culprit for the Tyler Harris length? Who was going on too long?
What are you talking about, the culprit?
Yeah, who was the most?
Everybody talked. Scales talked. Family members talked. Yeah. Everybody talked.
Yeah.
Didn't Coach Hearn talk, too? AAU coaches talked.
Everybody Brad, did you get a chance to? Did you get the mic?
I think everybody spoke. I
think
I had
Brad
a chance
was there
to get
on,
up. They're like, how about the program director in 1999,
that's right.
Ladies
hey,
and gentlemen.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
It's a big day in the city of Memphis.
Oh, here's
it's a big day in the city of Memphis.
Here's Tim. He works at Kellogg's. Come on up here, Tim. Come on. You got something you want to say about Tyler?
By the way, this was Tyler Harris.
Too, it was a giddy time back then, too, where
you could
just tweet out Penny Van.
Right, and we did that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And folks were going crazy about any positive news from
no
Memphis.
Doubt.
So, it was insane. You're right.
That was part of
well,
it.
Well, hello there.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it. I thought it was great, you know. I'm just glad it happened during Jeff's show and not ours. Because we'd have been sitting here waiting for... God knows when. I mean, Jeff was having a stall. He's like, all right.
We had to send out – Devin Walker was working for us at the time.
Yeah.
You might recall this. He was producing, and
yes.
he went out with an iPhone because the cell service in Cordova
That's
was
right.
so S.
That's right.
So we had to figure out how are we going to carry this thing. Mm-hmm. So he Facebook Lived it, and we ran it through the board through
I remember
Facebook
now. Yeah, no.
to get that thing on the air because we could not get a direct feed.
It was a momentous occasion. You know, for Memphis basketball. Now, what if I told you that Tyler Harris would then transfer 2 years later only to come back as a walk-on?
And then add to the story, you say he's going to start games for him at Park Lodge.
One. I think it means something when Penny like singles him out. Yes, I tend to believe that it does. But yes, we're talking about announcements here. you have intel that Jalen Durrens is going to be a long, drawn-out one as well.
I think he's got it set up that way, that it goes from like 5 to 6:30, if I'm not mistaken, or something.
The thing
like
that'll suck is if he commits to Memphis and then he goes to the G League after committing. Because that is, you said that the other day. That's not a possibility.
But the announcement
always exists.
Oh, in this day and age, it certainly
does.
In
today's world, because Jalen Green could have done the same thing. Kind of, sort of did.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did. I mean, the only difference I would say is that you're so close to the season starting now. It really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to commit to the G League. Commit to Memphis only to go to the G League. You know, I mean, if you're going to reclass, you got to get on campus.
Right. And
school starting, right? Like, so if you commit.
Yeah, but the point would be to that, though, you can't control what Rod Strickland and you know, Sharif Abdul-Rahim still are going to do. If they go and say, well, here's $400,000 more to the $1 million offer.
Yeah, I agree.
That's exactly
sometimes
right.
They're trying to make that decision.
But I think they'd probably be doing that now, right? Like, that would be occurring before the kid actually announces.
With as much smoke as there seems to be around that this kid's going to pick college
right.
rather than that,
right.
yeah, I would think that
yes.
they've already made a move or at least tried to up it.
Exactly.
The ante or the offer in this sense.
Exactly. I was on with Jeff earlier today, and you know, and I think I can understand, because we have been kind of traumatized by great players coming to Memphis and it not materializing in the way that we thought. I mean, James Wiseman. How many friggin' days did we spend on air talking about James Wiseman? Man played 3 games, you know, and that team didn't make the tournament. So, like, I get it. I get why Memphis fans might be burned. I really do. But did you agree with him in that even if they get Durin, it's still a wait and see?
Well, number one, when you say it's still a wait and see, what do you mean in terms of the way people react to the announcement?
His point was that it's not going to be, you know, as overjoyous.
Well, part of it is we don't know Jalen Durin as well around here as we knew James Wiseman. Part of it's that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's that, well, that's why you hired Penny Hardaway, was to get James Wiseman. So to hear him say Memphis instead of Kentucky was that relief. And like we talked about, there was already a giddiness that sort of surrounded everything. Let's be real. What were you calling him back then? The linchpin of the class?
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
He represented the centerpiece of everything else you were trying to do. And so part of that, you know, the how loud the screams were and the excitement level was all of that, was a mixture of all of that that you don't have in these circumstances with Jalen Durin. The point I made to you, your team was built around Wiseman. He was the centerpiece. Jalen Durin is not that.
Right.
You've already got the makings of a tournament team, a team that should be picked probably second behind Houston, the AAC. You add Jalen Durin, yeah, it improves you, but he is not the centerpiece. Maybe he becomes that by the time you play a season and in the end of the year, we'll see how things, you know, sort of formulate around him. But right now, he's not coming to be that. And so it's different in that sense, in terms of the level of anticipation, in terms of Memphians and what you know about his game already. Hell, everybody hasn't been following this kid's recruitment,
mm-hmm.
Hour by hour, day by day. And so, yeah, that's different than Wiseman. I mean, Wiseman, we saw him grow up right here, finish it off, you know, right here in Memphis, and become, too, Gatorade National Player of the Year.
Yep.
And so, yes, it's different in that sense, but in terms of the impact it could make, could be even clearly, like John points out, greater for you than what eventually happened with James Wiseman. That's the difference here.
Oh, I think the odds are very
good. You won't
have
it.
James Wiseman thing left you an IRP case and
might not have
games,
the excitement level. And we can talk about how loud the cheers are if he announces a
right.
Memphis on Monday, hearing how they don't compare to Wiseman. Well, when you talk about impact and what he can do for your basketball team and program,
no doubt,
the moment he steps through the door,
yes,
clearly, I'm like John. It'd be almost a surprise at this point if it doesn't go better. It'd be shocking, I'll put it that way, if it doesn't go better than Wiseman did. 3 games, you know, you don't get the season. So it's going to go better, and the impact will be felt more in this case with a Jalen Durin. He would complete, you know, sort of what you've got going. Other than the one question we still hang out there, he can't play point guard for you.
Yeah.
But definitely makes this a top 20, top 15 type outfit, no question.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
What about the NCAA stuff? I guess the climate's different because, you know, for Durin coming in. But, you know, you got that NCAA stuff hanging over.
I mean, that it's not slowing them down. I mean, that's the thing.
It ain't slowing them down on assistant coaches.
No,
and
it's
getting
not.
Larry Brown and getting perhaps Rasheed Wilson. It didn't slow them down on recruits.
And I thought it might. I thought, like, when this all sort of came out, the uncertainty, the cloud hanging over would have more of an impact than it has. But it just hasn't. I think they've done a good job of basically reassuring folks. And look, I've –
People what, just what, not care, I guess is my question.
What power does the NCAA truly have at this point to come down and waylay Memphis for a payment that originated with $11,500 in a day where Jonathan Lawson's probably earning something, half of that at a camp? And it's a new day.
Right.
But here's my point.
It's a great point.
Remember, is the NCAA is going to set the precedent. You don't cross them. You don't play somebody that they say is ineligible. Because why? Because they have the power. Well, they're losing the power. And so what good does it do them at this point to try to come down?
Screw down on Memphis.
Come down hard on Memphis and look optically like, yeah, we're still the dog. We're still the king dog around here. You got to answer to us. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you still come down heavily on, and you don't own a Kansas or somebody else like that? So if Memphis has got it, it better be those other schools because, again, I tell you with this situation with Memphis, we know it here. I mean, it's unique in the sense that you guys want to make Penny a booster beforehand because he gave $1 million for the Hall of Fame thing. Stop. We talked about this TSSAA case with giving James $11.5 million as before he was coach. Your cases include what LSU Will Wade as a coach.
Yep.
You know, lack of control with self as a coach at Kansas.
Yep.
Like, give me a break. And so, no, what you're going to come down hard on Memphis to show everybody else in a world where you're losing power by the day, you're breaking apart? Like,
exactly.
I know it's still yours because it's still your tournament. So you're still going to have some pull here.
Right.
But if you're trying to, you know, sort of keep your feet underneath you.
But it's gonna someday not be the NCAA tournament. Someday,
oh, absolutely. It's about to break off.
It's going to be the college basketball tournament, much like the college football. The college football playoff is not the NCAA. The college football playoff has its own committee that's headed by Hancock, right? So it exists separately.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that. It exists separately of the NCAA. Now, the NCAA does own the tournament, but I do think that's a valid question. Like, if we acknowledge that the NCAA is going to be decentralized, which 100%. Mark Emmert is already saying,
right.
You know, if you do have some sort of, if they levy some punishment to you as a result of this investigation, you know, does it still stand? Does it still... Or what? Like what? And that's a very fascinating thing, and I don't know if it would impact the harshness or the severity of it, but I do think that's because the NCAA tournament is not going to be this in 4 or 5 years. I mean, they're going to get away from that. It's just the truth. They're going to, and I've heard some things that I can't repeat, unfortunately, because the confidentiality of the situation. You know, maybe it's not the your worst fear though. And we've had University of Memphis President David Rudd on the show, and I think you kind of asked him, right? You kind of asked him. Do you have fear? And was his answer no fear? What was it like? I can't remember how it was put.
Essentially, that was that he didn't. And to me, you're not going to be far enough away from this thing at that point where it's not going to be tied back to you. So I don't know. You know, it was hard to tell with Rudd. Who are you just trying to brush that off, put it behind you? Yeah,
right.
You know, or do you really mean that? Do you really mean there's no way this comes down heavy on you. You're not going to have to worry about it. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hard to draw any kind of sort of conclusion on
that. I just
that.
Think just, life is...
He said he didn't fear any you know, potential, you know, I guess damage that could be long-lasting.
I just think life is way too short, and you're losing perspective if you don't get excited about a future top five NBA draft pick projected committing to your program. Regardless of what's happened in the past, I think you're losing sight of the situation. It does not happen. He's not going to be number one in 2021 when he reclassifies, but he's number one right now in 2022. Memphis does not get these type of kids. Persis Achiuwa was not a top five freaking player, right? I mean, it's just that Memphis does not get these caliber of recruits if they are not in Memphis. And here they are, despite everything that's going on with the program. They are on the cusp, potentially, of getting this young man. And so I would say, why be like that? Why say wait and see? Why not just completely go all in? And if you get burned, whatever. But you're making history once again for your program. A kid that's not from Memphis, who's ranked number one in the country right now, potentially coming to the University of Memphis. You got to celebrate that. You got to take that win, and you got to milk it for everything it's worth.
I mean, you're telling them what to expect because you and I both know reasonably you can expect the tournament and those people will be ultimately happy. But I'm not going to fault anybody for looking at this thing and saying, you know what?
Prove it.
You've excited us before. You've told us they're a Sweet 16 before. And I'm going to, at this point, protect my heart or however you want to phrase that for them and say, go prove it to me. I have a hard time faulting them for that when we've it's been year after year now, and you haven't made it. You and I both know the talent's there, the coaching staff's there.
Talent was there last year.
But more so that you have pecking order and you have an identity defensively. This isn't just something where you're just throwing it together every year and rolling the ball out. That was a way we looked at, you know, in some instances thought maybe, you know, some thought that Penny Hardaway is a grassroots coach who just gets the top talent and doesn't do much coaching. He's proven. Mm-hmm. He's proven that he is a coach who defensively has got an identity. Offensively last year fixed some big issues to a point you got to 14-3 to finish the season. Wasn't enough, but you've seen a guy who can coach. And so, but all that said, that's us and having a faith and belief that this is sort of get over the hump year. I'm not going to fault anybody for saying go out there and prove it to me. No, I don't care who you go out and get. Jalen Duren, you know, go Davion Warren. Oh, he's here. No, he's not. Is he going to play? Oh, no, now it's going to be Alo back at point. I'm not going to fault those folks for saying go out there and do it for me, because you're at a point where we all said you're past due.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this should have been done.
Well, whether or not you get Jalen Duren, that's the case. I mean, it just is.
So lose.
You should make the tournament. You should have made the tournament last year.
I can't fault people if they're not getting giddy right now, or if they don't get giddy on Friday because it's still show it to me. Yeah, I love it. You've had top classes before, but you didn't make the tournament.
That's fair. Totally fair.
Here's the point. I think eventually they will be won over because again, the foundation is there now. More so than just having, hey, good players, was that Penny Hardaway, to be a success at Memphis, was going to have to build a foundation and an identity. And here's what we expect. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of player I'm getting. You just can't throw a hodgepodge of talent together like he was able to do in grassroots and have a successful year-to-year basketball program. You got to figure that out. And he, on the job, it feels like he's getting that done. And again, you didn't just last year turn around 14-3, do nothing. Like you kept a team that clearly guys had different agendas, wanted to go different ways. You kept that together and won something. You won the NIT, and it's something enough of a foundation, good enough, I think, to build on and get over the hump this year. Again, I can't sit up here and tell you get giddy. Even when they get Duren, I can't tell you get giddy, because that's on Penny. He's got to break them through. I think eventually he will convince those.
If you can't get giddy about Jalen Duren, though, when can you get giddy? You know what I mean? Like what?
I would expect you to understand everything we've laid out and be excited about that. But I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you to get – that's on them. It ain't up to me, John, and you to commit. That's on Penny Hardaway and the program. That's their job. You got to get the players.
They've done a good job of getting offseason victories, right? That's what they specialize in, right?
I'm not going to apologize. I mean, you go get the players, the only thing that turns up are the expectations.
Yeah.
And so at some point, you got to deliver that. And it's up to them to get those folks
giddy
and sell
those tickets.
Well, because
last year, right, it was Musa. You know, last year they got Musa. He reclassified.
It still didn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not faulting people for like, but I'm saying throw that out. I'm just saying, you know, just because Musa didn't work out, just because James didn't work out, does not have any impact on whether or not Jalen Duren. I mean, each player is its own test case. James Wiseman didn't work out because of the circumstances around his recruitment. Musa Cisse developmentally was not there, as Norton Heard the Four told us. He was only 14 years old.
But I'll play devil's advocate for you here on this point. You've been all these years and you still haven't solved the point. Hopefully it gets solved, but you haven't solved the point guard issue. That's been an issue all the way through. And some of it you throw out. Well, yeah, but you could still look at it for those non-believers or those who don't want to come across and say, you can go out and get all the talent in the world. If you can't get better point guard play, then it won't matter. And that has been an underlying issue the entire time. We know why, because of the relationship.
Yeah.
But still, if it's costing you players, John, that could improve it because you still got Alo, well, there's a way out of that.
Well, that's coach's decision, right? And he's the one ultimately that's got to answer for it. And if that's what holds them back next season, then he will have to.
It will not just be magnified because of all the talent you've got around it, and that would be something that holding a team back that should be there again.
Yeah.
But because across the other side of the state, you got a point guard who's doing it and would have answered those questions.
Correct.
Ain't no question about it.
Yep.
You wouldn't have any questions going into the season.
That's right.
If you had Kenny Chandler.
It's not just Kennedy either. I mean, it's also going to be, what is Boogie going to do at USC? Because he left because of the pecking order. He left because he knew that if Alo was healthy, he was going to be the guy. That's why Boogie left. So Boogie leaves. You got Kennedy Chandler on the other side of the state. Like, it's like the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies draft Zaire Williams. Well, now we're going to have to see, how good is Book Knight going to be in Charlotte? What about Moses Moody? Mm-hmm. You know, they're forever going to be compared. And if it comes back and all in the wash that Book Knight and Moody are, you know, future all-stars and contributing to their teams in a major way, and Zaire Williams is in year three and he can barely even crack the rotation, Hell yeah. It's going to be the Grizzlies front office is going to have to answer for that, just like Penny Hardaway will have to answer for it if they struggle at that position next year and Boogie's out there averaging 15 a game and Kennedy's doing the same thing. That's just the way it is. That's the game you play.
Yeah, Boogie had a point.
Well, but I'm saying
I know what you're saying. They went 14-3 with him.
They don't need a traditional point guard in the sense. But he would.
Kenny Chandler's a point guard who's going to be possibly a top 10, going to be a lottery pick next year. But a little bit different there.
But
they are different players. Like, yes. It ain't exactly.
No.
Your point's understood, I should say. They're not exactly the same. That ain't apples to apples.
But if it was an open, please call me the Boogeyman.
I mean, we know we're going to be getting updates. Mark got the coronavirus update. You got the USC Boogie update.
Now, I've been out for a month. When are they still doing the coronavirus update?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they do it? It should be stronger than ever. It's back. Damn thing back. Mark never took it away. And it was smart.
The latest one was Delta Plus. That's the new variant. That's like the subscription service. You got to pay $5 a month. That's a joke I stole on Twitter.
Oh, that's like.
Delta Plus is a real thing, though. There's like confirmed cases of it. And then they say the Lambda variation is also more infectious. It's like, how many times, how much more can we have that's more infectious?
You want to kill our ratings.
Is there
you want to kill this show, do a Boogie USC update during the season. Nobody want to hear that mess around.
I'm not going
to
do
a
Boogie update during
a Boogie,
the season, bro.
Do a Boogie USC. Do it. You'll kill us.
I'm not going to need to do that.
You might sink the whole station with that crap.
Because people will be watching. People will be watching what Boogie is doing in L.A.
Watching?
Memphis fans will be monitoring. They will be watching what
he's
doing.
They don't give a damn about you once you leave.
They'll check his box score.
Don't have to stay up till 1 a.m. to do it. Nobody watch that Pac-12 stuff.
I'm just saying.
Stay
like
up till midnight, watch that mess with Bill Walton.
They'll visit his player page on ESPN to see what he's doing. Same with Kennedy Chandler. They're not going to watch Kennedy Chandler, but they'll see what he's doing. They'll keep up what he's doing.
How high Gavone got him going in the mock draft next year, John?
Kennedy?
No, Boogie. You're a man. How high is he going in the draft next year, as highly as you talk about him?
Boogie is a player of interest. He's a player of interest in the mock draft.
Well, Kennedy Chandler's already on there.
Yes, he is. We'll talk about all this and more with Ryan McDonough when we come back, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies draft, the free agency moves, and more. Jason and John, I'm turning it from ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining the show is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Love every chance we get to talk to him. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbook don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. All right, Ryan, we haven't talked to you since the Grizzlies made their pick, so we got to ask you right off the top, what'd you think of the Grizzlies pick at 10 of Zaire Williams?
It surprised me a little bit, guys. I've seen the talent with Zaire Williams. He was one of the top high school players in the 2020 class. Early in the year, Stanford played in the Maui Invitational, which was, ironically enough, was not in Maui. It was in Asheville, North Carolina. And I like some of what I saw from Zaire there. But when you dug into the film, there were some concerning things, lack of physicality. He had some really bad misses, some air balls and things like that. So the talent is there, but it's going to take some time. As I look at the body, he's 6'10". He weighed 188 pounds. So he's got good length. He's got a good shooting touch. But this is not a guy that Grizz fans should – expect to come in and have an impact from day one. This guy's got a lot of upside, but it'll take some time to realize his full potential.
Well, they clearly, you know, and I think they even said that they had intel that, he would not be available at 17, which is, of course, where they were originally going to pick Ryan. How do you navigate that as a front office when, you know, you hear so many things, you hear so many rumors, so much smoke about who might be drafting who? How do you navigate that? And were you hearing that as well on your end, that he might not be available at 17, just that piece of it?
He was one of the most polarizing players in the draft. Certain teams, obviously including Memphis, really liked him. Other teams didn't like him. You know, it really depends on how much you want to weight the talent and potential and upside and what he did in high school, where he was a top five player in his class, as opposed to what he did at Stanford, which was frankly underwhelming when you watched the film. I think a lot of teams liked him in that late lottery, mid-first round range. That's always the challenge. And what you do from a front office perspective, guys, is you put players in tiers. And the reason for that is the gap between each player and the next player is not always created even. Sometimes you feel like there's a pretty big drop-off. That happened in my last draft as GM of the Phoenix Suns. We had the 16th pick. We didn't love anybody in that range. We made a deal to move up and get Mikal Bridges at 10 because we thought there was a pretty significant drop off there, and I imagine the Grizzlies saw it the same way. So kudos to them for being aggressive. More than anything, guys, I give them a lot of credit for taking a long time horizon here. You know, it would be easy given the success they'd had with the play-in a year ago and then getting in the playoffs this year and winning a game in Utah to get ahead of themselves. The best players on their roster are still super young, and John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. So I give the franchise led by Zach Kleiman on the basketball side a lot of credit for having a long-term view and not trying to rush their timeline as their young stars develop.
Ryan, I'm right with you, and Zach so far has got a great track record when it comes to the draft, and so I'm hopeful with the pick. That said, I'm one of those guys that was disappointed when I hear the name, really scratching my head, because Book Knight's on the board and Moses Moody's on the board at the time too. And I've sort of bristled up at others since then, since the pick, who have said, well, those were safer picks and the Grizzlies have gone just here for high upside. I'm just asking you on a personal level, did you like Book Knight or Moody better in that position for the Grizzlies? Was there another guy that you liked better than Zaire at that spot?
I did. Yeah, there were other guys I liked better, and that's where, you know, a lot of this is in the eye of the beholder, sure. And time will tell. We'll see how those guys pan out. You know, however, I'll say this in defense of the Grizzlies and what they did. I thought there was a pretty significant drop-off after the guys I had ranked in the top six on my board, and the sixth-ranked player I had of that elite grouping I had near the top was Davion Mitchell, the guard from Baylor. As you guys know, he went a pick ahead of Memphis, yep. So I would have had a lot more concerns about the Grizzlies picking Zaire Williams if Davion Mitchell was still on the board. He's not. He was gone at 9 to Sacramento. So then when it happened, I thought the talent dropped off a fairly significant amount. I thought even in that mid to late lottery range, some of the guys who were picked ahead of Memphis in the top 10, I have some concerns about. So I understand them taking a flyer on Zaire. I mean, look, this kid has as much talent and upside as anybody drafted, you know, outside of the top 8 or 9 picks. He has that kind of ability. We'll see if he reaches the ceiling. So let me put it this way. There wasn't anybody left on the board that I said on draft night, oh, man, I can't believe Memphis passed on that guy. Because for me, again, the last guy in that grouping was Davion Mitchell.
Whose draft did you absolutely love?
Well, Sacramento, but because of how I felt about Mitchell, and he played very well last night in his friend. It's just summer league, but in that first summer league game, he did exactly what I thought he would do in the summer league they have out there in Sacramento. So that one stood out for me, you know. And then Orlando. I mean, getting Jalen Suggs at 5. You know, I had him ranked 4th on my board, like a lot of people did. I slightly preferred him to Scotty Barnes coming back with Franz Wagner, who I think will be solid. There's a lot of young talent in Orlando. So those are the ones who stood out to me, guys. And then, you know, a couple teams that took, you know, home run swings later on. Atlanta with Jalen Johnson, the controversial forward out of Duke. He obviously left the Blue Devils team midway through the year. We'll see. There's some off-court and intel concerns. That's part of the reason he was around at 20. But there's significant upside there if he puts it all together as a player. And then some of the teams I thought did well in the second round. Late late in the first and into the second round, like the L.A. Clippers, got Keon Johnson, who you guys know well, down your neck of the woods at University of Tennessee, an athlete in the early 20s, and then Jason Preston, talented guard out of Ohio in the early 30s. So those are the ones who stood out to me. As always, time will tell, but a few teams with later picks, I thought, did pretty well on draft night.
And since free agencies opened for you, Ryan, which team has improved itself the most? Would you put the Lakers there? You like the moves of some others better?
Well, the Miami Heat, for me, are the big winners early in free agency. You know, getting Kyle Lowry at his age, with his productivity, with an over-the-cap situation, they had to get creative. Miami's front office, led by Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg, is as good as any in the league. And in terms of creating ways to get elite players, not only did they get Kyle Lowry, they re-signed Duncan Robinson, their sharpshooter. They got P.J. Tucker on, I thought, a really good value contract. Obviously, Tucker was a huge part of the Bucks championship win this past year. And then today, guys, getting Victor Oladipo at a minimum salary. This is something I tweeted about yesterday on my Twitter, at McDNBA, that one of the tough parts about the business is for these guys who pass up on a lot of money and think there's going to be a bigger payday in free agency, and then it doesn't materialize. It looks like Oladipo, who turned down close to $80 million from the Pacers last season, and then close to $50 million from the Houston Rockets after he was traded there, now is going to sign for the veteran minimum in that $2 to $3 million range. So a tough blow for Oladipo, but it's a clear win for Miami, getting kind of that kind of talent on a minimum contract.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. The Lakers have been busy. They have been doing a lot of work here in free agency. Do you like what they have done?
I'm going to give them a B, and I know that's a little bit controversial, maybe lower than where most people have them graded. They have a lot of huge names, a lot of veterans, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, and those guys are headed to the Hall of Fame. The reason I'm giving them a B is I don't understand why they let Alex Caruso go to the Bulls. And Caruso was an unrestricted free agent, so he could sign with any team, but The Athletic reported that when Caruso got the offer from Chicago, four-year, $37 million deal, he went back to the Lakers and basically said, look, I'm not a restricted free agent, but do you guys want to match this or offer me something in this range? And they didn't. I guess they weren't close to that. So I bring it up because they're a very old team. I thought Caruso's defense on the perimeter, especially a year ago when they won the championship in the Orlando bubble, was impactful. They have limited ways to add players, so I like most of what they've done, but you know, not getting Caruso back, I think, will hurt them, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
What about the Bulls and that sort of the plan, McDonough, there? Can you see it? Does it make sense to you? I'm a longtime Bulls fan, and listen, I love LaVine and possibly what, but I'm not sure of this mix up now with DeRozan and with Ball. What do you think of what the Bulls have done? Caruso, you mentioned.
Yeah, I like what Chicago's done. They have a lot of talent. I guess the thing that surprised me a little bit is how aggressive they've been this calendar year, right? Earlier in the year, around the trade deadline, they made the aggressive move to get Nikola Vucevic. A couple first-round picks went out in the draft. They did not make the playoffs this year, so their first-round pick, which was 8, conveyed to Orlando. That's the pick the Magic used to draft Franz Wagner. Now they owe a couple more future firsts, you know, one still to Orlando as part of that deal, and now one to San Antonio as part of the sign and trade for DeMar DeRozan. And I bring it up because I think they've clearly improved their team in the short term, but the question, I think what you're asking is, are they good enough? You
exactly.
know, is that good enough? Because now, with the contracts they signed, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, with LaVine up for an extension, Nikola Vucevic getting closer to the end of his deal, and not having a lot of draft picks going forward, that really ties up their flexibility. So I think it depends on your perspective. If the goal in Chicago is to be a top six team in the Eastern Conference and get in the playoffs by avoiding the play-in, I think they've done that. If the goal is to win a championship and compete with the Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee Bucks and other teams, Philadelphia and Miami at the top of the Eastern Conference, no, I don't think they're quite there. I think they're a good team, but I think they're a notch or two below those elite teams in the East.
Ryan, down here in the city of Memphis, we sort of operate like we have two professional basketball teams, with the Grizzlies and the University of Memphis basketball program. Penny Hardaway, obviously, running things over there at Memphis. And the rumblings here are that he is going to add Rasheed Wallace to his staff. It already includes Larry Brown and Cody Toppert, who was working there in Phoenix as well. What do you make of the philosophy at the college level that Penny Hardaway is clearly trying to establish? They're waiting on a decision from Jalen Duren on Friday that, come to Memphis, we're going to develop you like the professionals. as somebody that worked in the NBA, like, do you roll your eyes at that, or do you think there's really some validity and legitimacy to what Penny is trying to build?
No, I love what Penny Hardaway's done. And I might be a little biased. I don't know Penny, but I know his assistants a little bit, Coach Brown, especially Cody Topper, who you mentioned, who is a high-caliber NBA-level player development guy. He's as good as any in the college ranks for sure. So I love what they've done. And look, I mean, you guys had a lot of success there with a previous coach who's now doing it up in Lexington, Kentucky with that model. I think that's the way the game is going, especially if you want to continue 10 for championships. You need those freshman superstars, because think of how the landscape of college basketball has changed, guys, just over the last couple of years. The G League Ignite just had two of the top six or seven picks in the draft. I think it was two of the top seven, with Jalen Green going to the Rockets and then Jonathan Kuminga going to the Warriors. So that's what you're going to be competing against. So I think in order to build a championship caliber team, or at least to have a chance to have a championship caliber team in college, you either do it with 3 and 4 year guys and hope they stay for a while and you develop them internally, like Gonzaga and some others have done, or you're super aggressive in recruiting. I try to get the superstar one-and-done guys like Calipari's done at Kentucky, and now I see why Penny Hardaway's doing the same thing at Memphis. If I were with a college team, that's the way I try to do it as well.
And then did the Knicks get better? Ryan, what do you think with Kemba? Where does that ultimately end up? Does that put them in the upper echelon of the East, or does it keep them right where they're at?
Yeah, I actually broke some Knicks news this morning, guys. It's a new hobby I've started, news breaking. It's kind of fun if you can do it. So here's the detail I put on my Twitter, at McDNBA, within the last hour. Kemba Walker will sign a two-year deal with the Knicks in the $8 to $9 million range. I put a range there because that depends on some of their other moves and how much exact cap space they have. I love that deal for the New York Knicks. I mean, 2 years, $8 to $9 million for Kemba Walker. Keep in mind, the guy was on a contract in the $35 to $40 million range with OKC. So to get him for that, I know there are some injury concerns, but at that price, it's a steal. And then the other piece of news that makes me like the Knicks offseason a lot better is it was previously reported that they had a team option for the fourth year of Evan Fournier's deal, which they do. What has been reported, what I broke on Twitter this morning, is that New York also has team options for the final seasons of the other veteran free agents they've signed, Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, and Derrick Rose, which means only 2 years are guaranteed. Those guys signed three-year deals, and then they have a team option for year three. So seeing that and looking at it, the totality of the Knicks moves, I like it a lot better today than I did yesterday because of Kemba Walker on a great two-year deal and also because of the team options for Burks, Noel, and Rose.
Absolutely. Ryan, man, great stuff as always.
Thank you, Ryan.
Appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. No, always great to be on with you.
He is Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider Calls presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets. Certainly here to help Jason make better bets. He needs us all of BetQL he can get and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. There's a brand new update out about Jalen Duren. Fresh, hot off the press. What's he got to say 2 days out? Got some interesting quotes here. Get into that when we come back. Jason and John, 90.3 FM, yes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Jalen Duren got an announcement he's going to make on Friday. Memphis, Kentucky, Miami, G League, NBL. He notoriously has not said a lot, right? He's not said very much about his recruitment leading up to that decision on Friday until now, until this moment. He talked to Joe Tipton of On3 Sports, On3.com, about his decision. And usually, like, you just sort of expect this to be, oh, great coach, love what they've done, blah, blah, blah. But I actually think there were some things in here that were informative from this interview, and we will just sort of go through them here. Again, Jalen Duren, listed at 6'10", center, 240-pounder. They call him a power forward. For Memphis, he'll be a center. I mean, you know, physically dominant, no questions about that. He was asked by Joe Tipton about college or pro. A lot of people think, you know, you're going to college, but are you still considering the G League? He said, where I'm going to develop the most at and where I'm going to learn the most at, on and off the court. I want to be well-rounded after that, making that step and moving on to new levels. Then he was asked, besides development, what's the other must-have for you at the next level? He said, connections, in terms of the program, the coaches, or the staff in itself. Just having connections to that NBA atmosphere just to get feedback to help my development. I think it all goes back to that. Just getting the professional feedback so I know what I need to work on more. Then he said this about the NIL, quote, it eliminated the money factor because now a decision can't be made strictly off of finances. The NIL leveled the playing field. It made it where some athletes are going to be fortunate to make more in college than they would on the professional route. So what do you make of just that?
Whatever it is, it's significant, the fact that he would bring that up. I can't imagine that it's more than what he's being offered right now by the G League, but you heard him say some athletes. Doesn't mean him. Doesn't mean he's getting more than what he could get going.
Yes.
Probably, but clearly, it's enough. You've put it in that ballpark now. Where
well, so Joe Tipton says that he's got an estimated contract for 1 year for about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis has not come up to that number.
Yeah.
Now, if they get close, right?
It must be good enough. Like he said, to be in the converse.
Right. If they get close enough, then you have the NCAA tournament, then you have the TV, then you have the fans. Can you sort of make up the difference in other ways?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
NBA staff, what Penny would tell you.
Right. He was asked about the G League, and he said, I've spoken to Isaiah Todd and Dacian Nix to get a feel for the program. Their experience was different because of COVID, but just giving me feedback, it was all good.
Well, that's good. Memphis should want him talking to those two, right? Or Miami, too.
Right.
And those, their experiences, didn't go so well.
Exactly.
Nix got exposed.
This is what he said about Miami. Miami was one of the first schools to offer me, and just having that connection with them. I had a connection with Miami before DJ even got there. DJ Irving, of course, is his former coach. Like I said, with them being in talks with me for so long, DJ going there definitely helped it out. They have a family atmosphere down there. It's a lot of love. I already know a couple guys on the team. It's definitely a great program. They have a good development program, too. Coach Larrañaga is a great coach. This is what he said about Memphis. Penny is a player's coach. He's done it before, and he's been through all levels of basketball. Their pitch is the NBA knowledge they have with adding Larry Brown and Cody Topper, just the development that they can provide. And then he was asked about Kentucky. It's a great program, honestly, a legendary program. It's a lot of love there. They have a new coaching staff who I had the pleasure to meet. They have a lot of great guys, and they're going to be a good team next year. I talked to Cal a lot, and the vision he has for me is definitely great. They're very proven in what they've done. So that is what Jalen Duren had to say 2 days before he's making his announcement.
I like that he's including Larry in there.
Larry has made an impact.
He threw Topper in there as well. Didn't throw Rasheed Wallace in there.
Well, yeah. Cody, because Rasheed Wallace hasn't done anything with him.
Hasn't been part of the pitch or anything like that to this point, you'd expect. He kind of just did gloss over. I mean, he used Cal, but he didn't talk about it. I guess he did say new assistant coaching staff up at Kentucky, but it kind of just glossed over the situation there. It was all of what you would say about Kentucky. Did seem more in-depth in terms of the relationships when he talked about Miami and Memphis. A lot of times you can't try to take too much out of these. You're going to be nice in terms of everybody you're talking about. But I like what he said about Memphis. And if I'm Memphis hearing that, and I already feel, as you've said and others, I've already feel good about the situation, I like what I'm hearing from him. You know, I already feel good about where we stand with him if you're Penny Hardaway. So he's saying the things that I want to hear right now. You know, I've told him NBA. I've put Larry Brown on him. You know, those are the things he's talking about. And it's all about development, right? But the key to all of this, I think, and that's what we wondered, is, well, we're assuming it's changed. Because 6 weeks ago, we're saying there's no way he's turned down a pro offer. And all of a sudden, we're saying that Memphis and Miami are right there for him. Well, what changed? We knew NIL has been a big part of this.
Yep.
So to hear that to me was the most interesting part, is to hear how much the game, you know, to call it a level playing field, you know, to hear him say it's more level, that's significant again.
It is.
That, for Memphis, is the reason why. Here's the deal. Last year, we're saying you don't go after any more Jalen Greens. That last minute could get, you know, taken out from underneath you by a pro league with all the money in the world, and you're handcuffed. You don't have that. Well, now apparently you do have some serious ammo, you know, something to contend with when it comes to name, image, and likeness, something to contend. That is enough to have, you're right there with a chance to land Jalen Duren. So that to me seems significant. It's not just a theory anymore of whether Memphis will be able to compete with not just the other schools, yep, Kentucky, Miami, the other big boy, but the pro leagues, with what it can do with name, image, and likeness. This kid is telling you that it's a more level playing field, and that's frankly why they're in the conversation right now.
That's exactly right.
So that part, that it's been quite a ramping up from 0 to 60,
yeah,
with what you can do for these prospects from an NIL standpoint.
Yeah, if NIL's around, Jalen Green probably doesn't go, right?
Changes the whole standpoint of, well, maybe you shouldn't go after these guys, because apparently you got enough to play with the big boys and be on that level with the big boys.
Yeah, now I will say
in
this.
In terms of what you can offer.
I am not going to count out the G League's offer until Jalen Duren announces that he's going to college, right? Like, I think you got to be careful, because we're talking about a million freaking dollars.
I don't think you should count it out until the moment he's suited up and all that.
You can make all the promises you want, right?
Nobody's telling you this, and this.
The G League is going to pay you flat out $1 million, and that's it.
How do you get close to that with NIL in Memphis?
Well, because you just get a big boy. I mean, national, local, whatever. I mean, I think when you're the number one player in the country, you can get those guys. You know, you can absolutely get that kind of money when you're the face like that. Yeah, like a number one player in the country for sure. Top five draft pick, you're getting in early. I mean, this kid is not some – I mean, this is a high-profile
player. Is it a shoe
deal?
Like, who is the client is where I'm going, because I can't think of it.
I mean, it could be anybody. I mean, it could be –
Is it a FedEx TV commercial? Is it a Nike TV commercial? Is it a camp with Duren that pays 25? So you got 25 there.
I think there's
a lot
of ways
to get to a mill.
There's a lot of ways to go about it. I mean, I think – quite frankly, they're going to have to still figure that out.
Yeah.
I think they have they feel like they can, and you make a call or two when it happens, right? I think the bigger brands,
you call
though,
up Bill Laurie. What are we talking about here? You want to know the names? Like, there's all kind of money. You're a program that's paid your coach $3 million. You paid Tubby Smith $3 million, made him one of the highest coaches in the country.
Yeah.
You've got a practice facility that's $22 million. It costs $22 million to build. Like, they've got all – you heard of Walmart, right? And Bill Laurie and how big that – they got all the money in the world on that side.
So does he do a basketball Walmart TV commercial?
Yeah, you're going to do Jalen Duren rollback prices.
No, my whole point is Memphis ain't going to have to piece – we talk about football and what they've had to do there and how you don't get the media rights deals that the big boys get. But with Memphis basketball, it's been well-financed for years. And so it's not a deal where, like, oh, give me a quarter, you go get me a dime and a nickel because this is the way we got to do it. When it comes to basketball on that side, dude, they snap their fingers over there and the money starts
They're
rolling.
Printing money.
The money will come rolling in.
Well, that's good.
And so, look at the practice facility.
I will say, though,
this
like,
is Memphis basketball. You put up against
anybody in the
country.
That's the answer I was looking
for.
That's
my
thought.
I will
Call
say this.
Bill
they're printing money. This
and
is
work
good.
It out.
So they're printing money. That's good.
In Brad's defense.
I'm glad. I mean, they're printing
nobody
money.
Nobody on this team right now has anything besides Landers. You know, now none of them are Jalen Duren.
That's what I'm saying. They're locked in. Jalen Duren, you're trying to get.
Right.
And he's a freaking top five, top ten pick in the draft next year.
That's true. I mean,
that's different.
That is the leverage, right?
Yes.
It's like, if you want us to get this kid, you're going to have to come to the – I mean, that's
you
the
just
way
cut the
go.
Check.
That's the way it is.
I mean, you just talk about an ambassador stepping up to give Jonathan Lawson a little.
He sponsored the camp, Jason.
I understand.
Get $10,000 there.
But that's the way you can support the program.
Yes.
What's to keep – Bill Laurie or somebody 100%. Bigger, not from doing the same thing on a larger scale.
They'd find it. I'm not worried.
You're gonna
find that get the money
like this.
Who it would be? Right. I mean, that you know, that
basketball
remains
we'll
to be seen. But yeah, I think you're right.
Well, come to Memphis, Jalen. We got the money too.
Well, no, in 2 days. That's gonna do it for us today. Thanks to Ryan McDonough for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Ryan Silverfield for hopping on the show today. Gino and Jeff are gonna be live from TPC Southwind for the WGC. Don't miss that. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM ESPN. And Odyssey Station. It's the summer of sports on 92.9 FM ESPN with KJZ.
The Saints are a good football team, and Jameis Winston, if he's the starter, is a hell of a quarterback.
The Jeff Calkins Show.
Like, they're both magnificent players.
The Jason and John Show.
Kevin Harlan.
We're thrilled to be doing the Grizzlies.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
Be fun to watch, I know that.
And the Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful, be kind, be good, rep your heart.
Your one-stop spot for sports in Memphis is 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 ESPN. From Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.